All right, so have you ever felt like you're trying to like overhaul your entire life but getting nowhere? Maybe we're just going about it all wrong. Today we're diving into this blog post called 10 Small Habits That Make a Big Impact on Your Life to see if tiny tweaks can actually lead to like lasting change.
Interesting.
I'm all for finding shortcuts, especially when it comes to self-improvement.
Well, that's the interesting thing about this post is it's not promising some like magical overnight
Yeah,
transformation.
right.
It's all about those small, consistent actions that you take day after day,
Yeah.
the kind we often overlook because we're looking for those big, dramatic gestures.
Exactly. Okay, so slow and steady wins the race, right?
That's right.
Let's jump right in with the first habit, daily gratitude practice.
Okay.
I have to admit, this one always seems a bit too good to be true.
Yeah.
Like, just writing down a few things I'm thankful for is going to change my life, really.
Well, the idea might seem simplistic, but the research on the benefits of gratitude is pretty compelling. Like,
Okay.
for example, one study found that people who wrote gratitude letters for just 3 weeks reported feeling significantly less stressed even months later.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not just about feeling good in the moment.
Right.
It seems to have a lasting impact on your overall well-being.
So there's actual science behind it.
Yeah.
I'm listening. What else does the post say about gratitude?
It mentions keeping a gratitude journal,
Okay.
which can help you make it a regular practice,
Yeah.
but it also highlights the power of sharing your gratitude with others.
Oh, interesting.
When you express appreciation to someone, it creates this ripple effect of positivity, strengthening your relationships and amplifying those good feelings.
That's cool. Instead of just like writing it down in a journal, you're actively spreading the good vibes.
Exactly.
Okay, on to habit number two. And this one hits close to home for me. Drinking enough water. I know I should be better about it, but honestly, sometimes I just forget. The post mentioned something about dehydration affecting your workouts. Tell me more about that.
It's true. You might think you need to be like seriously dehydrated to feel the effects,
Yeah.
but even mild dehydration can impact your physical performance.
Really?
Yeah. Your body relies on water for everything from regulating temperature to transporting nutrients. So when you're even slightly dehydrated, your workouts can suffer.
Wow.
And get this, it can even make you feel more fatigued and less focused.
Well, so that afternoon slump might not just be from a boring meeting.
Could be.
Maybe I just need to drink more water. Okay, I'm starting to see the light here. Does the post offer any tips for actually remembering to stay hydrated? I'm
Yeah.
notorious for getting caught up in work and forgetting to even take a sip.
It suggests some practical things like setting reminders on your phone
Okay.
or investing in a really nice water bottle that you actually enjoy using.
Okay.
And you can make it more enjoyable by experimenting with natural flavors. Think cucumber slices, mint leaves, or even a squeeze of lemon.
Okay. I'm officially ditching the sugary drinks and going full on hydration mode.
Good for you.
Now let's move on to something I think we all struggle with. Regular physical activity.
For sure.
We know it's important,
S.
but finding the time and motivation can be tough.
It's a challenge.
What does the post say about fitting exercise into a busy schedule?
It acknowledges the time crunch a lot of us face
Yeah.
and it emphasizes that even short bursts of activity can make a difference.
Really?
Yeah, you don't need to block off an hour for the gym every day to reap the benefits.
Okay.
Even 10 or 15 minutes of movement can boost your mood,
Yeah.
energy levels, and even your brain power.
So the I don't have time excuse is officially busted. But there's another hurdle for me.
Okay.
Finding activities I actually enjoy. I'm not a treadmill kind of person.
And you don't have to be. The post stresses that finding enjoyable activities is key for sticking with it long term.
Right.
It suggests exploring a variety of options. Think dancing, hiking, taking the stairs instead of the elevator,
Yeah.
even just putting on some music and moving around your living room. It's about finding what works for you and what brings you joy.
I like the way this post thinks.
Me too.
Okay, time to dust off my dancing shoes. Now let's tackle a habit that honestly kind of intimidates me. Mindful breathing or meditation.
Okay.
I have this image of like sitting cross-legged for hours trying to empty my mind. It seems impossible.
It sounds like you might be overthinking it.
Okay.
This post actually breaks down mindful breathing as a very simple exercise.
Okay.
You don't need to achieve some kind of Zen state.
Right.
It's about consciously focusing on your breath,
Yeah.
noticing the inhales and exhales, which helps you ground yourself in the present moment and quiet those racing thoughts.
Okay, that sounds way more doable than what I had in my head. Does the post suggest how to actually incorporate this into your daily life?
It recommends starting small.
Okay.
Even just a few minutes a day can be beneficial.
Yeah.
And if you're feeling lost, guided meditation apps can be a great starting point.
Right.
They provide structure and support, walking you through the process.
All right, maybe I'll actually give this meditation thing a shot. Now on to something I know I can get behind. Reading regularly.
Okay.
I've always loved escaping into a good book.
Yeah.
But I never really thought of it as a habit that could, like, significantly impact my life.
Hmm.
What does the post highlight about the benefits of reading?
It goes beyond simple entertainment.
Okay.
Reading exposes you to diverse perspectives and experiences.
Right.
Which can help you develop empathy and see the world through different lenses.
Okay.
It also strengthens your critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
As you analyze information, weigh different viewpoints, and draw your own conclusions.
Wow. I never really thought about it that way.
Yeah.
So it's not just about the stories. Mm-hmm. It's about expanding my understanding of the world and becoming a more well-rounded person.
Mm.
Tell me more about this empathy thing.
Think about it this way. When you read a novel, you're stepping into the shoes of another person, experiencing the world through their eyes.
Yeah.
It can help you understand people who were different from you.
Okay.
Break down stereotypes and cultivate a sense of compassion.
That's powerful. Okay, officially adding read more to my list of life goals.
Uh-huh.
But I have to admit, sometimes life gets so busy that even reading feels like a chore. Any advice on making it feel more like a treat than an obligation?
The post emphasizes the importance of finding genres that genuinely captivate you.
Good.
Whether it's historical fiction, science fiction thrillers, or biographies, it's about discovering those books that make you lose track of time and eager to turn the next page.
Okay, that makes sense. It shouldn't feel like homework. All right, time to hit the bookstore. Speaking of feeling overwhelmed, let's dive into habit number 6, planning your day. Now, this is where I confess my own struggles. I'm more of a go-with-the-flow type.
Okay.
But I do find myself feeling scattered and unproductive sometimes. What does the post say about the benefits of planning?
It frames planning as a way to enhance your productivity.
Okay.
And minimize that feeling of overwhelm you just described.
Right.
It's not about creating a rigid schedule that you have to follow to the minute.
Right.
But rather about setting intentions for your day.
Yeah.
And having a roadmap to help you stay on track.
Okay, but how do I avoid feeling like I'm just creating a to-do list that's going to stress me out?
Yeah.
I need something more than just a list of tasks.
The post talks about tools like time blocking.
Okay.
Where you allocate specific chunks of time for certain activities, and even something called the Eisenhower Matrix.
What?
Yeah. The Eisenhower Matrix.
Okay, I need you to break that down for me.
So the Eisenhower Matrix is basically a framework that helps you prioritize tasks.
Okay.
Based on urgency and importance.
Okay.
You divide your tasks into 4 quadrants, urgent and important.
Okay.
Important but not urgent. Urgent but not important.
Okay.
And neither urgent nor important.
Okay.
By categorizing your tasks this way, you can focus on the most crucial ones and avoid getting bogged down in the less essential things.
So it's about being strategic with your time and energy, rather than just reacting to whatever pops up. I can see how that would be incredibly helpful in feeling less frantic and more in control of my day.
Exactly.
This is blowing my mind. I might actually have to become a planning convert.
I love it.
Okay, moving on to a habit that I think is often overlooked in our fast-paced world, connecting with loved ones.
Yeah.
This post highlights the importance of social connection.
Right.
Not just for our emotional well-being, but for our overall health.
Yeah.
Regular interaction with loved ones combats feelings of loneliness and provides a sense of belonging and support. That makes total sense. It's easy to let those connections slip when life gets busy, but those relationships are so essential. What kind of specific strategies does the post suggest?
It encourages you to be intentional about nurturing your relationships.
Okay.
Schedule regular phone calls with friends and family.
Okay.
Plan activities together.
Mm.
Even something as simple as sending a thoughtful text message can make a difference.
Yeah.
And remember, it's about quality, not just quantity.
So it's not just about being in the same room. It's about making an effort to truly connect. I love that. But what about those friends or family members who live far away?
That's where technology can be a huge help. The post acknowledges that video calls and messaging apps can't fully replace face-to-face interaction.
Right.
But they can help bridge the gap when distance or busy schedules make it difficult to connect in person.
Okay, I'm feeling inspired to reach out to some friends and family I haven't talked to in a while. But before I get lost in my phone, let's dive into habit number 8, limiting screen time.
Okay.
This is one I know I need to work on.
It's a common one.
The post doesn't just talk about the obvious, like, wasting time scrolling through social media.
Right.
But also delves into the potential negative impacts excessive screen time can have on our mental health and even our sleep. I've definitely noticed that spending hours on my phone before bed makes it harder to fall asleep. Mm-hmm. Is that what the post is referring to?
Exactly. It explains that the blue light emitted from screens interferes with our body's natural sleep-wake cycle, making it harder to wind down and get quality rest.
Okay.
It can also contribute to feelings of anxiety and depression, as well as eye strain and headaches.
Okay, I'm starting to see the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
It's not just about cutting back on mindless entertainment.
Mm.
It's about protecting my mental and physical health. Does the post suggest specific strategies for actually limiting screen time?
It talks about setting boundaries.
Okay.
Like designating certain areas of your home as screen-free zones.
Okay.
Or establishing specific times a day when you put your devices away.
Right.
It also mentions using apps that track your screen time,
mm.
which can help you become more aware of your usage patterns and identify areas where you might want to cut back.
That's a good idea. I think I'm going to try implementing a no phones at the dinner table rule in my house.
I like it.
Now let's talk about something that's essential but often sacrificed. Getting enough sleep. I have to admit, I'm a bit of a night owl, but I know I'd feel better if I got more rest. What does the post highlight about the importance of sleep?
It emphasizes that sleep is crucial for virtually every aspect of your well-being.
Yeah.
It's not just about feeling rested.
Right.
It impacts your mood, cognitive function, immune system.
Right.
Even your physical health.
I know sleep is important.
Yes.
But how do I actually make it a priority when I have so much going on?
The post recommends establishing a consistent sleep schedule.
Okay.
Going to bed and waking up around the same time each day, even on weekends.
Mm.
This helps regulate your body's natural sleep-wake cycle.
Yeah.
Making it easier to fall asleep and wake up feeling refreshed.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like training my body to recognize those natural cues. Any other tips?
Creating a relaxing bedtime routine can help signal to your body that it's time to wind down.
Okay.
Things like taking a warm bath, reading a book,
yeah.
or listening to calming music can help you transition into sleep mode.
Okay. I'm feeling calmer already just thinking about it.
Good.
But what about the environment? Does the post mention anything about that?
It stresses the importance of a cool, dark, and quiet bedroom.
Okay.
Invest in blackout curtains if streetlights or early morning sun are an issue.
Yeah.
And consider using a white noise machine to drown out any distracting sounds.
Yeah.
And let's not forget about those screens. The post also mentions limiting screen time in the evening as a key factor in getting a good night's sleep.
Right. We talked about that earlier, that blue light is a sleep saboteur.
It is.
Mm. Okay. I'm convinced I need to prioritize sleep if I want to function at my best. Speaking of functioning at your best, let's talk about the next habit on the list. Giving back to the community. This one feels a little different from the others. Like, it's not just about personal improvement,
right.
but about something bigger.
That's what's so interesting about this habit, is that it shifts the focus outward.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing that we're part of a larger community
mm.
and that our actions can have a ripple effect.
Right.
The post emphasizes finding a cause that truly resonates with you.
Okay.
Whether it's volunteering your time, donating to a charity,
yeah.
or simply being more mindful of how you interact with others in your daily life.
So it's not just about like grand gestures.
Yeah.
It's about those small acts of kindness that can brighten someone's day.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in our own little worlds, but this is a reminder to look beyond ourselves and see how we can contribute to something larger. Okay, let's dive into the next habit, and this one's a bit more abstract. Cultivating a growth mindset. I've heard this term before.
Right.
But I'm not sure I fully grasp what it means.
It's essentially about shifting your perspective from a fixed mindset.
Okay.
Where you believe your abilities are set in stone.
Yeah.
To a growth mindset. Where you embrace challenges as opportunities for learning and development.
Mm.
Instead of seeing setbacks as failures, you view them as stepping stones on the path to growth.
So it's about seeing the potential for growth in every situation.
Yeah.
Even the tough ones.
Exactly.
That's a pretty powerful concept, but how do you actually put this into practice? It seems a little vague. Like, just think positive thoughts.
The post suggests a few concrete strategies.
Okay.
One is to embrace challenges.
Okay.
Step outside your comfort zone and don't shy away from things that feel difficult.
Right.
Another is to view feedback as a gift, even when it's not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Instead of getting defensive, try to see it as an opportunity to learn and improve.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about those times when you put in the effort and still don't get the results you are hoping for?
Mm.
How do you maintain a growth mindset when you feel like you're failing?
That's where the idea of focusing on the process rather than solely on the outcome comes in. It's about celebrating the effort you put in, the lessons you learn along the way, and the progress you make, even if it's not always perfect.
So it's about shifting the focus from winning to learning. I can see how that would take some of the pressure off and make the journey feel more rewarding, even when things get tough.
Right.
All right. This growth mindset thing is starting to make more sense. Okay. On to a habit that I think a lot of people struggle with, myself included. Practicing forgiveness. This one can be really tough, especially when someone has hurt you deeply. Why does the post emphasize this as an important habit?
It's not about condoning the other person's actions or letting them off the hook.
Right.
It's about freeing yourself from the burden of resentment and anger.
Hmm.
Holding on to grudges can have a negative impact on your mental and emotional well-being, leading to stress, anxiety, and even physical health problems.
So it's really about taking care of yourself, not about excusing the other person's behavior. But how do you actually let go of that anger and resentment,
especially when it feels so justified?
The post acknowledges that it's not easy.
Yeah.
But it suggests starting by acknowledging and validating your feelings.
Okay.
Don't try to suppress your anger or pretend it's not there.
Right.
Allow yourself to feel those emotions fully, but then try to shift your focus from blame to understanding.
Okay, hold on. How am I supposed to understand someone who has hurt me? That feels impossible sometimes.
It's not about condoning their actions, but about trying to see the situation from their perspective.
Mm.
It doesn't excuse their behavior.
Right.
But it might help you understand why they acted the way they did.
Yeah.
This can make it easier to let go of that anger and resentment.
So it's about cultivating compassion, both for yourself and for the other person. That's a challenging concept, but I can see how it would be incredibly freeing to let go of that burden of resentment. Okay, we've explored all 10 habits from the blog post, but before we wrap up, I want to touch on something that the post emphasizes throughout. Consistency. It's not about being perfect. It's about making those small daily choices that add up over time.
Absolutely. It's about building those habits into your daily routine.
Yeah.
Making them a natural part of your life rather than something you have to force yourself to do.
Right.
It's about progress, not perfection.
So it's not about beating yourself up if you miss a day or slip up.
Exactly.
It's about getting back on track and continuing to make those small choices that move you in the right direction.
Oh.
I like that. It feels more sustainable than those all or nothing approaches.
And remember, you don't have to do this alone.
Hmm.
Share your goals with friends or family.
Yeah.
Find a support group.
Yeah.
Or seek guidance from a coach or mentor. Having that support system can make a huge difference in staying motivated and on track.
That's such a great point. We're social creatures, after all. Having that sense of community and support can make any challenge feel more manageable.
And remember, even though we've covered a lot of ground today, this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The journey of self-improvement is ongoing.
Yeah.
It's about constantly learning, growing, and evolving.
Well said. I'm feeling really inspired by all of these habits and the potential they have to transform our lives.
Me too. It's a reminder that we have the power to shape our own destinies.
Yeah.
One small habit at a time.
But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with a question to ponder. If you could choose just one habit to focus on from this list, which would it be and why?
That's a great question to think about. It's about like finding the one that like really resonates with you at this point in your life.
Yeah. And maybe it changes over time as you grow and evolve, you know?
Right.
It doesn't have to be a one and done decision, but we want to hear from you. Share your thoughts with us on social media. We love creating a community of support and inspiration as we all navigate this crazy journey of life.
It's amazing to see how these like seemingly small habits can create such a ripple effect.
Right.
Impacting not only our own lives, but the lives of those around us.
Yeah. It's a powerful reminder that we don't need to make drastic changes or overhaul our entire lives to see like real results.
Right.
Sometimes those tiny consistent actions are the most transformative.
And I think that's a message that resonates deeply with people. We're all looking for that magic bullet, that quick fix.
Yeah.
But real change takes time and effort.
Yeah.
It's about embracing the journey, not just chasing the destination.
So well said. And on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap up this deep dive into 10 small habits that make a big impact on your life. We've explored a lot of valuable insights, but I hope you're leaving feeling inspired and empowered to take action.
Absolutely. Remember, you have the power to shape your own destiny one small habit at a time.
And we're here to support you along the way. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back soon with another episode exploring the fascinating world of knowledge and self-improvement.